Mr. Heald, Reel 2. Now, we've got to the point where you've gone to the pre-Octu camp at Blackdown, where I think you were there for a couple of months, February, March 1943. Now, what was your reception from arriving there as a civilian and being turned into a soldier? How did they take you into the camp? And
well, the first floor, mate, is Blackdown is near Pergola. Probably all the instructors were guard sergeants, I don't know. I can't remember that. They said they were later on. The first fortnight was, I suppose, general duties. I remember the Blanco was a very bright yellow Blanco, and I spent all my time Blancoing one's equipment and getting all over everything else, and I suppose polishing your boots so that they shone, which is extremely difficult. But
how did you take to that spit and polish?
Well, I mean, it was hard work, but one took to it. I mean, I think when, after that, I think I was about last intake that went direct into a pre-octu. Previously, after that, everybody went into what I think was called a primary training winter, so I ran it for 3 months. But I never, as it were, went through the ranks.
Now, what was your accommodation like? Was it huts?
I don't know whether it had been a pre-war camp or not. It was huts.
What were they like, each hut?
Well, I quite honestly, I cannot remember the huts at Blackdown. I can't remember very much about Blackdown. I know there was a fortnight's general training, a fortnight on driving and maintenance, a fortnight on wireless, and a fortnight on gun.
So it was a Royal Armoured Corps camp.
It was a Royal Armoured Corps pre-option. And I suppose the majority of people, I suppose, had probably been through the ranks of one form or another. There must have been a few others like myself, who'd just gone straight to pre-option.
How did you get on with your fellow recruits, or cadets, or whatever?
Perfectly all right. No problems at all.
Was it from the same sort of background overall as yourself?
Well, I can't remember that time. I mean, I remember that the ones later on sat to us better, but there was a very mixed background. But I suppose there were some people from the sort of the more notable public schools. I mean, I remember we've got various people from Wellington. Wellington was a school which produced sent people into the army. I mean, I never had any problem with dealing with people from different backgrounds.
How did you take to things like the food?
The food was marvellous, because I mean, you go into the army where there's plenty of food, having come from the background where everything had been rationed, and there'd been a distinct shortage of food. Although I suppose there was never any ration of bread during the war, so one could always fill up with bread. But the army food was a distinct improvement on what you had before. And after all, you were getting paid. And I had never been paid before in my life. It made a big difference.
And how did you take to the training?
Well, I took it very well. I certainly wasn't very good at Morse. I probably wasn't very good at any. I think I'm probably reasonably good on the tactical side, probably not so good on the driving side, not so good on the, I don't know what gunnery we did then.
What were you taught to drive?
1500 weights and and I remember at Blackdown, motorcycles. And we were taught by a Lance Corporal Salisbury, who had been a Manx TT rider before the war. And we were taught on Chobham trunks, I think they're called, which are up and down. And it was a very hair-raising business. I never liked motorcycles. I never rode one again.
And what about the lorries? How did you take to them?
I wasn't a very good driver.
Had you driven before?
I had never driven before. My parents hadn't had a car before the war. And I was not a particularly good driver. I find it lack of experience, really.
And did they show you any tracked vehicle driving at all, either Bren carriers or tanks?
I don't think they did. I can't remember any. No, but after all, it was all in a fortnight. So we didn't have much time in a fortnight.
And what about the signals training? How far did you get with that?
I think I got up to 8 words a minute in Morse, which was a very minimum. I mean, of course, there was all this question of 19 sets, and I think it was only 11 sets when I went to there, but. It was quite hard work, and of course the other thing was I suppose you were taught to use it to communicate by radio, and this question of switching on and switching off and at the right time, and trying to get on net and things like that.
And what about the tactical side? How far did they go into that?
I don't think they probably went much further in the tactical side than they'd done at Oxford. I can't remember. Though I remember going out. I remember going out on Horsfall Common, and we must have gone out on exercises. But I think probably a lot of the tactical side was communicating with radio to somebody else, somewhere else, and things like that.
Anything else you did there?
I think we must have gone off to firing at Pirbright because Bisley, because it was only a mile or a couple of miles from Bisley, and at some stage I must have fired, and I can't remember quite when.
Your rifle training.
Rifle training. Yes.
Did you have to do any sort of bayonet training or anything like that?
Oh, at some stage I might have done bayonet training, and I think probably did that in the Home Guard more than anywhere else, but I certainly have done bayonet training. In those days, the bayonets were rather long bayonets. The shorter bayonet was only just being introduced. But certainly one. And I suppose we played games, rugby, and football. And like that.
Were you being constantly monitored to see whether you were suitable as an officer at the time?
I assume so, not consciously.
Now that you were there,
one thing, of course, people did tend sometimes, if you're ill or something, to drop back a course or something like that. So that's one of the remarks. I never did. I must be pretty fit, so I never did. If you failed a particular grade, you would drop back, have to redo the wires. But I never did. Drop back, of course.
So the next thing would be when you went to Sandhurst, yeah. Officer Training Unit. That was round about April to October 1943. Now, what do you remember of your time there? What was the setup? I mean, how did they take you in and assign you to companies?
Going to Sandhurst was rather like going back to college, because it was a delightful setting. It was a lovely summer. You could play cricket, you could play tennis. You actually had a batman as well. I think there was one batman to 4 cadets or something like that. All the drill sergeants were ex-guardsmen. They were absolutely excellent. And while we were there, there was a parade when we were reviewed by the king. And that was certainly the most impressive thing we'd ever been on.
In what way? Can you describe
well,
it?
Well, our sort of square bashing, our marching was excellent. I always remember we were drawn up in a semicircle about 200 yards from the main buildings. And when we presented arms, you could hear the last crash of the present echo back later on off the building. I think Sandhurst aimed at excellence, and it was excellent.
Now, what would a typical day be like? How would it, not a day, but a typical day? How would it start?
Well, I suppose we were woken up at 6 o'clock or something like that. So I was due in the summer months. I suppose we're on breakfast. Oh, PT before breakfast. Breakfast on parade, probably 8 o'clock. Drilling for an hour, and then we'd be off to do whatever we had to do for the rest of the day.
Now, what would that be? What would
the course, as far as I recollect, was divided into something like 5 weeks general, then 1 month driving and maintenance, 1 month wireless, 1 month gunnery.
So what were each of those in turn? I mean, some of it we've already covered. The general, what would that be?
Well, the general, and we went on a battle course, for instance, in North Wales. For instance, we had to cross a lake in boats with live ammunition being fired at us. We had to climb snow up the Watkin Pass. And that must have been on Easter Sunday. I think it must have been on Easter Sunday because we got to the top of Stone for the first time since the war. The cafe was open at the top of Stone, which was a bonus. We did a battle called the map reading course across the Glider Far. Got hopelessly lost until I recognised where we were because we lived in Conway, but I used to climb the mountain. I was young, I was fit, and I enjoyed it.
So that's part of the general. Are there any other aspects of the general, the 5 weeks?
Well, I'm just trying to think what else. Presumably, in that general period, there may have been a certain amount about tactics.
But you don't remember particularly.
I can't remember. I think actually what I should say was the interesting thing was I was in a very interesting troop. There were six Polish cadets from the Polish Army Corps who were very interesting people. One of them, Stumpf, S-T-U-M-P-F, had parachuted back into Poland at one time, and there were a number of other people. There was George Jack, who was still alive. Who was an old man of 34. He'd been the troop representative, and he was after all in the States, and he'd come over volunteered. Just got married, and his wife was in the American Red Cross. He had a home in this country. So when they were on leave, he stayed at the Savoy Hotel. Same time I've ever had tea at the Savoy Hotel either. But it was a sensible thing because they had a base in London. But I've kept up with him ever since. And then there were other people who I remember quite well who one of the gods who had been a sergeant major in the Commandos, for instance. So it was a very mixed bag.
Now, you mentioned your troop. Did your troop, or did you have your unit within Sandhurst have a name? I mean,
Central 3Y. Right?
What did the Y stand for? Was it just code?
I think there were two intakes at a time. One was 73X and one was 73Y. I'm not sure, but I may be wrong about the Y, but it was 73.
And were you in a special Royal Armoured Corps section?
It was entirely Royal Armoured Corps then.
The whole of Sandhurst?
The whole of Sandhurst was Royal Armoured Corps. So it was, it had been taken over by the...
So it was the Royal Armoured Corps Octu.
It was the Royal Armoured Corps Octu. And I think it was the only Royal Army Corps at that time. I mean, so all the facilities were aimed in that direction, really.
Now, with the driving and maintenance part, did that move on anywhere from where it ought
to? Oh, yes. Well, then, I mean, we had tanks. We had Centaur tanks, I think, which were the sort of pre-Crusaders. I think we had some Valentines there. Certainly, we drove them. Really, we did a sort of driver's course on them and maintenance.
How did you do with learning to drive a tank? Because it's quite...
Well...
Were there the tiller systems?
Yes, it must have been, yes. I can't remember. I never professed to be a great tank driver. I was annoyed after the war. I couldn't keep up on my driving license, driving tracked vehicles. But later on, I never had any occasion to drive tanks.
So you could do it, but it was.
But I believe in leaving things like that to the experts, the drivers who could do it. I always feel I would be able to do it, but in actual fact, usually somebody else did it. And driving generally, I wasn't very good. I didn't have very much experience with driving, but there's an awful lot of maintenance, I think, on it, and sort of understanding how things worked.
How did you do with that? Were you of a mechanical turn at all?
I was all right.
So it's just a course you had to do?
It was a course I had to do, but it was an interesting course, but I learned things. I learned things about engines which I didn't know before. Oh, I remember they had cut out engines so you could see how the pistons worked and things like that. It was an interesting course, actually.
So it didn't do you any harm?
It didn't do any harm at all, no.
And the wireless, were you making any further progress with that, or was it?
I didn't make much. But it must have gone off for a month, so I can't think.
Were they moving towards training in things like the wireless alphabet and things like wireless procedures?
Yes, the wireless procedures. There was the B set and the A set and things like that. I can't know whether... It was procedures, I think, really. I think they must have mixed it up with tubes of various sorts. I can't think we spent a whole month on wireless. But I think we must have had used it in the background with sort of tactical exercises.
Now, these tactical exercises, how far did they go? And what sort of level of tactics were you learning? And did you look at the history of tank? It wasn't a very long history of tank tactics, but, you know...
I was trying to think. I mean, chiefly it was all this question of use of ground, hull down positions, and turret down positions, and covering fire.
Was it very realistic in your view? In view of your later experiences, perhaps. But
I thought in everything I did at Sandhurst, I thought was the top quality of tank was relevant to what I had to do afterwards.
Now, anything? Did they actually try and teach you just sort of man management, methods of command, just the duties of an officer?
I suppose they must have done, but I don't.
Or was it taken for granted?
Yeah, I cannot remember that. It may be it was taken for granted, and that may be one of the faults in the system, because certainly I had rather different views of man management from a lot of officers.
Now, will they come up later, or do you want to talk about
them?
Well,
I think I'll talk about them later, but I always took the view that, for instance, I would never expect a man to do anything that I wouldn't do myself, and... was, if it was particularly difficult, I would rather felt it was wrong to ask a man to do it, but one sometimes had to do that.
What about, I mean, this sounds tough, but how to behave as an officer in the mess and just generally?
I don't really being taught that. I suppose we were all officers and gentlemen, but that's all it takes to know that. But I never remember being told anything about mess etiquette or anything like that. But when it came to the point, the whole of my army career, I was never in a proper mess. I don't remember ever having it. And there were occasions when I suppose people who had mess dresses didn't dress up, but on the whole it was all rather easy going, I think.
Anything else you learnt at Sandhurst?
No, I think I matured a lot while I was at Sandhurst.
Now, why did that bring it on when university hadn't, or was it just when it happened?
Well, I was getting that much older, and I mean, university, you're mixing very much with the academics and other academics, and here I was mixing with people who had seen quite a lot of the war, and were far more practically minded, and who had an object in view.
Did you respect people who'd been in action? I mean, there was you hadn't. And
yes. I mean, there were people being natural, actually, rather rare in those days. Because the people in the Middle East had been in action, but nobody had been in action, I suppose, in Dunkirk. But there'd been no action in the West in 1943. So one didn't come across all that number of people who'd been in
that. Did they teach you pride in that? I mean, the Royal Armoured Corps was quite new, yes. Very new, in fact. Yes. And did they teach you the history of the Corps and try and inculcate you with any sort of traditions or?
Well, I suppose they must have done, but it was very much Royal Armoured Corps and cavalry. Rather than RTR, I think. I'll tell you, towards the end, you had to choose a regiment to go to. Now, I didn't know that I wasn't in any of the cavalry regiment, I had no connection with it. Nobody ever suggested trying the Royal Tank Regiment. It was rather distinct in some ways. And that was one reason why I heard the Sherwood Rangers and I thought, oh, well, I'd join the Sherwood Rangers, which was the Nottinghamshire Regiment, which I had some connection with Nottinghamshire.
That was your main reason?
That was my only reason for joining the Sherwood Rangers. But it was the only unit I could think of where, with any sort of connection, that I had any sort of connection with. And that was only because my grandmother lived in Nottingham.
So was there any down on the tank regiment at all, or was it just not done to apply?
I don't know. It didn't occur to them, because there were RTR instructors there, I suppose. There were all sorts of instructors. But the instructors were all excellent. There were a lot of physical training instructors. They were excellent. But I don't know. But I felt one didn't have any... I think the other thing was that by the time I was sort of finishing Sandhurst, they had got a sufficiency of tank officers, because they hadn't had all that number of casualties. And in fact, people afterwards were converted into infantry officers. And George Jack, the American, was 34. I think he'd be ill or something, or failed to pass one section of the course, so he'd be held back a bit. And he was converted into an infantry officer. And that happened to other people as well.
Now, that nearly happened in a sense too, because you didn't go straight to the Sherwood Rangers, no. Did you? What happened next?
Well, the Sherwood Rangers were in the Middle East. But they were coming back for the invasion. And so I went off to a holding unit, which was the... I think it was the 6th Lancashire Fusiliers. They were in Leyburn in Yorkshire, which I suppose is 10 or 15 miles from Catterick Camp. I can't remember what we stayed in. I know the mess was in one of the hotels in the town, which was open, licensed on market day from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And this, about a mile out of the town, there was a small camp which had, I suppose, about 30 or 40 tents in it. But really, there was very little training going on there. I think possibly there was some training in Churchill tanks or Sherman tanks. It really was a complete waste of time.
Now, I'm a bit confused. The 6th Lancashire Fusiliers should be a territorial infantry battalion. Have they been converted or...?
Well, I may be wrong about the 6th, but it was a Lancashire Fusiliers, because I always remember on Minden Day, they wore their poppers in their hat. I don't know whether I was there on Minden Day, but it was the 3rd of the Lancashire Fusiliers, I think it was the 6th, and it was a sort of reserve holy unit, generally, for odd people who were waiting to go to regiments. There was one other. Ray Scott was there. He must have overlapped more or less with Met Santos, but he also was waiting to go to the Sheriff of Rangers, and there were people waiting to go to other units. But there was no real training going on at all. Maybe the men were being trained a bit in driving and maintenance and kind of, but it seemed to me a complete waste of time. And I was there for about 3 months or something like that.
So the next stage would be the Sherwood Rangers came back in February.
The Sherwood Rangers must have come back in January or February. And I joined them. We were somewhere in East Anglia. And they were going to be converted into DD tanks, which are amphibious tanks. And the idea was that they would be one of the first land on D-Day with or before the infantry.